Let's read a few verses right here out of the book of Jeremiah, so you can make a note here. Jeremiah and chapter 7, around verse 16. I thought this was an interesting request and commandment that God gave to Jeremiah. He says, "Therefore pray not you for this people." And I thought, how strange. You would think that the Lord must say something rather to the opposite effect. Hey, Jeremiah, really give yourself to fasting and prayer for these people. But he doesn't. He says the opposite. He said, "Therefore pray not you for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me." And listen to what the Lord says here. "For I will not hear you." So I highlight the word intercession, prayer, and pray. Okay, and he says, "I will not hear you." We know that also Jesus made known to the apostles a certain selection of prayer. He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. In other words, this is the God perspective. Seeing that the depths of iniquity and the state of the conscience are so rooted and also so diversified with the philosophy of this world, the Lord knows those in regarding, the sowing of his knowledge, those who resist as the protester, and those who accept, okay, as the consenter. So Jesus says, "I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me." The consenters are those who I agree with. So I pray for them. The consenters are those which agree with. But the protesters, I don't pray for them, which means I do not stay in agreement with their petitions. I do not walk in harmony with their aspiration, and neither will I justify their principle. So here, the Lord is saying the same thing to Jeremiah. "Therefore pray not you for this people. Don't stand in their justification. Don't compromise with their principle. Okay, but continue to petition me for your strength." And it has to do with the strength of his grace. Okay, now that's Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 16. This is what the Lord's counsel was to Jeremiah. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." So we see, concerning the aspiration, the imagination, the principle here, the projection of one's peace or self-worth. Okay, the projection of one's peace and self-worth is not that which was issued from the throne of God, but is that which is discovered within the logic of man. Okay, it's not founded in the throne. In other words, it's not issued to us from the throne of God, but rather it was manufactured within the dimension of these waters, which has to do with the logic of man. "So let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." Now, he's not talking about not the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of this world here. See, the wise man, which he's speaking of here, they are those which study out and seek out the knowledge of this world in order to set a path for their productivity or to set a path for their profit. You just like the sources of education today are making promises of prosperity. Okay, but the promises of prosperity is built on the premises that you give me money. You give me thousands of dollars and you'll be prosperous. I'll share my knowledge for thousands of dollars. And so the education of this world works on the premises, okay, at the cycles of consumption. Okay, we work on the cycles of increase. They work on the cycles of consumption. Okay, the cycles of consumption are those things which are of a temporary nature. Okay, it issues from the heart of man and it remains there, okay, even upon death. Okay, but that which we receive from the throne of God, which we receive from him, continues on perpetually. Okay, our faith is perpetual. And that's why the Lord takes pleasure in our faith. Faith bears the marks of eternity. Okay, and if we bear the marks of eternity, we also see that that's our destiny. If we bear the marks of eternity, we bear the marks of Christ. So let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man, those which excel within the areas of their expertise. Okay, those which excel. You say like the Olympics. Just say the Olympics, the mighty man. Even though this is applicable to many other areas. Okay, areas of skill. Craftsmanship. Okay, or other strengths. Okay, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Okay, neither let the rich man glory in his riches. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to Jeremiah, that's why he says, "Thus saith the Lord, don't let these be your light." This is a false light. Okay, don't let the conscience of man be your light. Let the conscience of God be your light. The conscience of man is defiled, whereas that which is from above is the true light. It bears witness to the state of the conscience of faith. not that which is the conscience of the aspiration. But let him glory in this. He that glories, let him glory in this. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. Let him that glories, glory in this. The word glories there has to do with it. It's perpetually increasing. If you want to perpetually increase in the state of your conscience, the purification, the fruit bearing, entering to his rest and peace. But let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Yeah, and this is what the Lord is doing today. He's unfolding these mysteries. Unfolding these mysteries, it sets our feet in order before him. In other words, we're walking cadence with him. And that he knows me. Now, through the precept, we can't see God, but through the anointing, you can. Okay, the anointing is as the eye salve. We see this in the book of Revelation. Eye salve that he may see. So the anointing is an eye salve, which means it cleanses the sleep out of the eye. It takes you out of the trance. Okay, and so in Revelation chapter 3, we see unto the angel of the church of Laodicea that these things, being absent, put those which were believers in a state of derision. And that's why he says, but thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, naked. Okay, the state of derision is taking root within you again because the grace of God is growing dim. If you don't embrace these things, then it grows dim. And you have to have oil in the lamp. Okay, but the oil in the lamp must be put there. It means there's a certain responsibility on our part in order to keep ourselves lit. Okay, and that means ignited for him. But he that glories, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. And this is what Jeremiah is confronting here. Jeremiah is confronting the contradiction of the false religious system. They have replaced the knowing of God by the anointing to that which is precept and line. In other words, you know, the precept and line became their guiding light, and then the guiding light was a false light because the interpretation, okay, of that knowledge was not put within the covenant. It was put within the aspiration of man. Okay, just like today, substitution is taking the knowledge of God and putting it within the aspiration of man, substituting that which is living and life-giving, which is the anointing, for that which is the voices of consumption, that which is the voice of one's own conscience, the logic of man. So he that glories in glorious, he knows me that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And we can see that when he says exercise, we're talking about propitiation. Hey, there's a form of harmony and bonding here is taking place, that whereas we begin to discover who God is, our eyes being opened. Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. So we can see the word judgment also has to do discernment. The policy which God sets, okay, for the activity of our faith, that which our faith now can take hold of. It can take hold of righteousness. He says, in the earth, for these things I delight, saith the Lord. And that's all the time we have for these selected verses right here. Okay, but in the book of Exodus. Okay, so open your Bibles. Those that's joining us, we're just sharing some selected verses here. Okay, we're going to be talking about tokens of wisdom. And this is in Exodus chapter 30. Have your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen. Get ready to take some notes here as you begin to see a connection of harmony, okay, between that of the Old Testament and that which Christ has provided for us today. We'll be comparing the perishable with the imperishable. We'll be comparing also the visible with the invisible. Okay, and why the Spirit of the Lord selected these particular portions to represent his fullness as that of a shekel. Everything is according to the measure of the shekel. Your soul is according to the measure of the shekel. Now we see in the Old Testament, the measure of the shekel, okay, was put within the sacrifice. And our sacrifice of charity, okay, is also put within the measure of the shekel, the shekel, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, we see the portions, the old covenant, and the fullness in the new covenant. Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses. Okay, in other words, in addition to these things concerning the statutes and these ordinances. Okay, so moreover, in addition to these things, the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, now I want you to take these five principal spices here. I want you to take the portions of all these things which come from the trees. Now that's why we're called trees of righteousness. We're called the trees of righteousness because we have the essence of Christ's fullness poured within us. Okay, this is the oil which is from above. Okay, Jesus Christ is that living oil which is poured within us, which makes us lights in this world. Okay, as long as we're partaking of that anointing, we are lights in this world. But if we're not partaking of the anointing, okay, or the five principal things for fruit bearing, okay, then that light which is in you is darkness. That means the knowledge which you have received is now blinding your eyes rather than opening your eyes. Okay, the anointing opens the eyes. It's the eye salve that opens the eyes. But let's go on here. You shall take unto you principal spices. So I like the word principal. Spices. Okay, and these principal spices, these five principal spices, also represent that which is fruit-bearing. So take unto you these principal spices of pure myrrh, okay, which he's beginning with myrrh here, because these were gifts which are also given to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, okay, which represents and points to the king which will suffer for us in order to seal to us this eternal life. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So he says, this is the first thing, I want you to take pure myrrh. It'll be 500 shekels, so I have to wear shekels there. Okay, and a sweet cinnamon, half so much. Even 250 shekels in the sweet calamus, 250 shekels. So we see now a composite put within one frame. Okay, a composite put within frame. That the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, okay, are all composite, but put within one house. Okay, put within one frame. Okay, that our soul is to bear this testimony. Okay, not the testimony of the flesh, but the testimony of the spirit. Okay, we bear the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, so he goes on here. And calamus, 250 shekels, and akasa, 500 shekels after a shekel of the sanctuary. Again, the token scale, because Jesus is our token scale. After a shekel of sanctuary. So the sanctuary becomes a scale of measurement. And the scale of measurement uses this perspective. We gain the perspective of the shekel. Not the shekel of the earthly sanctuary, but the shekel of the eternal one. Now, Jesus Christ is the offering and sacrifices of our lips. Okay, and oil, olive, a hin. Okay, and you shall make it oil of holy ointment. Okay, again, he says, for this parable shall reflect my atonement in you, for you as trees of righteousness. We are trees of righteousness, sending forth the sweet-smelling savor or the fragrance of God's work within us. Okay, we are of his craftsmanship. So what we're reading here is a craftsmanship. Craftsmanship is oversought by the stewardship. Now the stewardship, okay, is pointing to the shekel, again, which is a unit of measure. A unit of measure. Okay, your charity is a unit of measure which identifies the fragrance, the source of your fragrance. Now the source of our fragrance is that of the throne, okay, of the paradise of God. Okay, which of course would be purely released fully without restriction as you walk in the Garden of Eden. As you walk in that garden, and all of us be taking strolls in the Garden of Paradise, as those that pass on before us are even doing at this present time. Okay, and they're releasing the fragrance of Christ's work within them. Okay, as they're inhaling, okay, inhaling and intaking the fragrances of all the diversities of these trees which God planted, and the angels, okay, or the groundsmen, the angels. There's over 300 angels that are caring for the grounds of that garden, continually grooming it and preparing it for the passage of the righteous, that we have the enjoyment of the parks. Now, this park, of course, is within the area even of the third heaven. Okay, so the saints that passed on before us, not only did they take their strolls and take their reflections within the Garden of Paradise and enjoy its beauty, but they also make intercession, and they also praying for us. Okay, and the Lord, or the angels of the Lord, are also keeping them updated concerning the progress of your work that was taking place down here. All right, so these are all these portions are put within one portion, okay, as we're all in one house. Now you shall make it an oil, a holy ointment. So I like the word holy ointment there in verse 25, because they talk about that which we're using. Its usage is for this dimension. And this is what the scriptures say, be you holy, for I'm holy. Well, here the Lord has given us something that we come in contact with for this transition to take place. Okay, not only of the redemption of our own soul through the work of regeneration, but also the involvement and intercourse of angels. Okay, whereas they are involved, directly involved with your life. An ointment compound after the ark of the apothecary. So hide the word apothecary there. Okay, we're talking about something of a skilled nature. Okay, it's not willy-nilly poured together. Okay, it's put together with great accuracy, like cutting a diamond. It shall be holy and holy anointing oil. But, of course, the accursed trees, they bear no portions of Christ. The accursed trees. Now, there's the trees of blessing, which we are, and there's the trees of cursing. Now, we see the Apostle Paul brings that out in the book of Hebrews 6, concerning the trees of righteousness and the trees of cursing. Okay, those which are such as briars, and thorns, which has to do with cursing. In other words, the hand cannot grasp them, okay, because of the curse. Now, you notice that through the scriptures, the word hand is mentioned numerous times. Hand of the Lord. Okay, now the hand of the Lord has five fingers. And each one of these fingers identifies a certain portion. So when the hand of the Lord is upon you, he's identifying that these portions are put within this whole or compound. It comes together for the purpose of this work. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The anointing is the hand of the Lord. And it bears all the portions of the compound of his fragrance, the fragrance of charity. This knowledge of the Lord is a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, so we see the hand of the Lord having five fingers, as these five compounds are all of one hand. So you shall make it an oil of holy ointment. Okay, now we just go down here in verse 26. It talks about, and you shall anoint what? Okay, you shall anoint the tabernacle. So all these tokens bear the name of the Lord in one house. In one house where you assemble. So all those, the righteous, they're sending forth this fragrance within their charity, are all of one house. We're all of one garden. We're all of the children of paradise. But the garbage flower, you ever hear about the garbage flower? Or the stink flower? Every season, the stink flower opens up and it smells like garbage. Now, Enoch also was allowed to smell the garbage flower. Okay, and by smelling the garbage flower, okay, it makes a sharp contrast and distinction between that and the Garden of Paradise. So the garbage flower, when it blossoms, sends forth a stinking smell that attracts the flies. Okay, whereas when we send forth the fragrance of his charity, the angels delight to remain within your presence. They hear the charity which you're speaking, and they delight in it. Okay, so one attracts the bees, the other attracts the flies. All right, the tabernacles. I like the word tabernacle in verse 26. You shall anoint the tabernacle congregation, right, therewith, okay, and the ark of the testimony. So every token, okay, bears the imprint or the fingerprint, okay, of the hand. Okay, and so are the tokens. Okay, when the hand of the Lord is in government, it bears the fingerprints of Christ, which sends a sweet smelling savor. So we got government, truth, and spirit. They have the fingerprints of God on them. Prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts of calling is grace of God. Every one of them has God's fingerprint in it. Okay, which is a part of his hand. So the hand bears perfect equity and it labors with these things. The tabernacle, the ark. Okay, the ark. He says the tabernacle congregation therewith and the ark of the testimony. Okay, the ark of the testimony. Even our soul testifies of Christ. Our soul testifies of Christ. Because the ark bears the Aaron's rod that budded, the pot of manna, okay, and also the tables of the covenant. Okay, it bears these three things, okay, the fingerprint of God. Okay, so this is our testimony. The fingerprint of God is our testimony. We testify of Christ, and this is why God touches us. We can see through the writings of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay, particularly, let's just single out here, Mark here for a moment, okay, how we can see the word touch is mentioned numerous times through the scriptures. Okay, the touching had to do with the engagement between the divine creator, Jesus Christ, and his creatures. And when the Lord touched them, he touched them like as with his hand, which bears all components of the sweet-smelling savor. The fragrance of faith was released. So Jesus, of course, is the key and the door. Being the key and the door, he opens us unto us this understanding that we enter into. Okay, let's go on to verse 25, or 27 here. And the table and all his vessels. A table and all his vessels has to do with the things which we dine upon. The candlestick, which is temporary light, and his vessels, and the altar of incense. And the altar of burnt offerings and all his vessels, in the labyrinth's foot. Okay, so we see both fire and water brought together here. Okay, when he talks about this concerning the labyrinth's foot. So hide the word labyrinth's foot. Okay, and also the altar burnt offering. Now, of course, we altar burnt offering, that which is a fire. And all his vessels and the labyrinth's foot, which is the water. So there's a cleansing. And that's what he says here in verse 29. And you shall sanctify them. It is by my anointing, they are set apart for the service which your hand will touch. Okay, your hand is going to, you lay your hand upon them. And we're going to see what happens here. The hand of the Lord is upon you, bearing all the fragrances of faith. Everything that you touch must bear the fragrances of faith for your sanctification. And we talk about those things, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, and prayer, preaching, and prophecy. So you shall sanctify them, that they may be most holy. So whosoever touches them shall be holy. How's the word touch again? Those that labor with them will be holy to me. And that's why we are as holy vessels to the Lord. Okay, a holy people, a peculiar people. So strangers and pilgrims. Our language identifies us of a different kingdom. And pilgrims is because we are not taking on the yoke of the perspectives of this world. Strangers and pilgrims. Okay, our language is different and our dress is different. Okay, we are as a holy race. Okay, a holy race bearing a different seal. Verse 33, and you, being a steward, shall anoint Aaron and his sons. That's separate for the service. You shall anoint them and consecrate them. That means you must teach them this knowledge. Now, what Moses did with Aaron here, and regarding the separation of the priesthood, is the same thing we're doing today. Okay, there's a separation, preparation, consecration, and an initiation. The initiation has to do with the mobility of going forth. You're carrying forth this knowledge in your heart and in your lips. And consecrate them that they may minister me in the priest's office. This has to do with for their perfection. And this is what we do. Our perfection of faith is in the ministering of your priestly service. Perfection of faith is the ministering of your priestly service. Okay, now the false religious system, they're trying to find perfection through the bending of the will worship with scripture or the text, the bending of the will. They're trying to find their perfection, okay, through that source and that application, but they're not touching God because we only can touch him by the anointing. So therefore, their faith can't be made perfect. And they feel that the discrepancies of that within their own conscience, the defiled conscience continually testifies, okay, of that lack. So they're continually repenting. If you're continually repenting, that means your repentance has never been sealed. And so therefore, if they're continually repenting, they will not be saved because they can never progress in that state of the conscience being defiled. So here we see perfection. They shall minister unto me in the priest's office. This is what we do today. Now, in verse 31, you shall speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This token shall be an holy anointing oil, which represents Christ, unto me throughout your generations, to point to the one I have chosen. To point to the one that I have chosen. See what the anointing does. We can see that Isaiah, he spoke the same thing in the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah was speaking himself, but by speaking by the anointing, it was making it applicable to the performance of Christ. Because Isaiah was speaking by that same Spirit. And when Isaiah was speaking by that Spirit, he's speaking by the Spirit of Christ. So when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he was identifying with the same position of stewardship as that of Isaiah the prophet. Okay, so Isaiah was speaking the effects of that anointing. Okay, the effects of the anointing provides knowledge for change to remove ignorance from people. That's the prisoner. So you shall speak to the children of Israel, okay, saying unto them, okay, this shall be, verse 31, now this token now, shall be holy anointing oil, okay, unto me throughout your generations. So we see it's perpetual. Upon man's flesh, I hate the word man's flesh here because it's talking about that which is common. Okay, upon this man's flesh shall not be poured. Okay, now, we're going to see an exception to the rule here through Samuel. Now, when Samuel anointed Saul and anointed David, it was that same anointing oil. Now, the reason why he did that was show a connection. The connection can come through the stewardship because the stewardship has the exception to the rule. Okay, now Samuel, when he offered sacrifice, did not bring it to the temple. Okay, Samuel offered sacrifice in a high place. Now, that was against the law. Okay, the law and commandments of God. Because the law and commandments of God is that you shall not offer the sacrifice any place but the place that I elected for you. But because Samuel was a steward, he had, because the anointing and the Spirit was upon him, he had the exception to the rule. See, and that exception to the rule is applicable to you today. It's applicable to you that you do not have to assemble with the wicked and that you not have to perform the traditions of flesh. So that makes you free from the law. And make you free from the law is the blotting out of the ordinances against you. The anointing oil is blotting out the ordinances which were against you. The anointing blots it out. Because the anointing was upon David, he could partake of the showbread. Because the anointing was upon Samuel, he could use this holy anointing oil to pour upon the head of those who God says to do it. Okay, so you can see the exception to the rule. The false religious system, not understanding the freedom of the spirit, they exercise their will only with the precept. And whereby the precept kills the understanding, but this anointing gives life to the understanding. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, which has to do with the anointing, not by sight, which has to do with the law. The law, or the tabernacle of the earthly things, is what the precept sees and observes. And of course, it becomes a token of death to them. Okay, we got to verse 32 here. Upon this man's flesh shall not be poured. Okay, though Samuel poured this on David. Neither shall you make anything other like it after the composition of it, for it is holy. I like the word holy there. That means it's for one individual purpose. And the individual purpose is service to me. So wasn't Samuel in service to God? Yes. Samuel was in service to God, so he could pour it upon Saul's head and David's head. We also see that Samuel also offered sacrifice in high place. Okay, that's because the anointing was on him. We see David also ate of the showbread. That's because the anointing was upon him. We see that the apostles went to the cornfields on the Sabbath day and partook of the corn, which, of course, by precept was a transgression, but by the anointing was a blessing. So the anointing makes you free from the condemnation of law. So if your perception of life is by the anointing, then the conscience is purified. Okay, but if your perception of Jesus Christ is by the precept, then a conscience remains defiled and continually seeks for clarity and seeks for direction of how to serve God. Okay, by the anointing, you're serving the tabernacle. Okay, that is the tabernacle of the soul. Okay, at the altar of Christ. Okay, and by this, you're free from the law. Okay, but the law condemns those. Now, those that don't walk by the anointing are condemned by that law. So those which are condemned by the law, okay, God pours his wrath upon them. And we see this in the book of Revelation. How God's wrath is manifested upon all the children of disobedience. And Peter calls them cursed children. Because they're as a thorn. Okay, there is a thorn. Let's go on here. Okay, verse 33. Whosoever compounds any like it, whosoever, that's a stranger that experiments with this, whosoever compounds any like it, or whosoever puts any of it, that's for sells it for profit, or whosoever puts any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. That means, see the word cut off, which means to fall away. This is what's happening today. There's a falling away taking place because the knowledge of God is being used for the selfishness of man, which means they're taking this knowledge and using it for the profit of the aspiration. And for that, a curse abides upon them. They're cut off or they're falling away. The wind is shaking the fig tree and the dead figs are falling out right now. As we see in the book of Revelation, as a tree shaken of a violent wind. Okay, and the figs, which are unprofitable, fall away. And when they fall away, they have now lost contact or the tethering of the substance of life, unless the Lord can grasp them in again. So here they should be cut off. So I like the word cut off there in verse 33, which has to do with that their conscience now bears a testimony of death, and guilt shall rule over them. Hey, guilt shall rule over them because they've been cut off. Now verse 34, now the Lord said to Moses, take unto you now four spices. Now we see the number five as the hand of God. Okay, number five, and the five fingers, but you also see the number four, including with that, okay, which also has to do with what? Not only the fruit of the Spirit, but also the power. The fruit of the Spirit and the power, as concerning the nine gifts. So take unto you sweet spices of stecha, and anica, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, I like the word sweet spices, okay, and pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. So we see the number five, number four, which equals in number nine. Being the fruits of the Spirit, we release our charity from this knowledge. We release our charity from this knowledge. And you shall make it a perfume, a confection. By the sacrifice, this knowledge will ooze forth with life. A confection. After the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. So here when he says, as a perfume, I will ooze water and blood, which will conquer Satan's kingdom, and my Father shall smite the flesh to release this power. Now, the reason why is the smiting of the flesh can release this power is the same thing that takes place in the preparation of these confections, which has to do with the smiting. Now, the anica, okay, anica, when it's smitten, also releases a sound, okay, like as a roar of a lion. The concussion of a sound Okay, is also from a mollusk. It's from a mollusk in the sea, in the Red Sea. And when you smite it, it makes a sound. Okay, and also, the smiting of the, of our souls make a sound. Okay, so we got grace and suffering. And as for the perfume, which you shall make, because my word is perfect equity, and this equity is my pleasure, this also shall be your rest. So, and as for the perfume which you shall make, you shall not make to yourselves according to composition thereof. Because those that transgress me shall bear a breach in the soul, and their sweetness shall become bitter. Their sweetness shall become bitter. Okay, when you use it for the aspiration. That's in verse 37 there. Let's read this last verse here in verse 38. Okay, shall be unto you holy for the Lord. Okay, this is your tethering and contact with me. Whosoever shall make like unto that, that means the unconverted believer now, if the unconverted believer shall steal this holy knowledge to display their efforts of faith for the honor of man, I will not know them as my own. For their iniquity is sweet to them, but it's bitter to God. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings this out again. The Lord knows them that are his. So that everyone that bears the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay, departing from iniquity again is that we're using only those things which the Spirit sanctifies as a composite to release this knowledge in your charity. Okay, so those that do the opposite of that, they take for their own, they shall be cut off. They shall fall away. And this is what Paul and the apostles warn about in the last days. There should be a great falling away. And that great falling away is taking place even today. It is also will be manifested during the tribulation. When the 144,000 be preaching the same gospel which you're listening to, many people will hear and despise it. Because of that now, God, the intensity of the judgments will be given, as we see in the pouring out of the vials in beginning of chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 here. Now that we see that the composition, the five portions there are put in one hand. Okay, let's read about that here in Proverbs. Now the Proverbs of Solomon. We're starting with chapter 10 here. Let's read a few verses out of here, then we'll go over Colossians here. Now the Proverbs of Solomon. Now a wise son makes a glad father. Because a wise son are those which study the faith and embrace the knowledge. But a foolish son, which utilizes this knowledge for the aspiration, and listening to the false knowledge of this world, is the heaviness of his mother. Yet the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, which means the volumes of knowledge that the world provides for the boast of man will in the end leave the soul naked. It profits nothing, that is for faith, but righteousness delivers from death, which is the door of the sinner. Death is the door of the sinner. Righteousness has to do with that which is the expression of your faith. It will remove you from the door of the sinner. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. In other words, the Lord will not restrict the loss, but by giving more gifts. So the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish or to grow weak. So God's promising us here that he will be involved with your life by giving you gifts. Because we know what those gifts are. It's concerning dreams, visions, words of knowledge, and other manifestations of the Spirit that God gives. Because every gift of God gives is a passion of himself. The angels relate to that passion. The angels relate to the passion of the Lord. Relating to that passion of the Lord, it is extended to us through this tethering. And when it's extended to us through this tethering, we begin to know who God is. All right. He becomes poor that deals with slack hand. He becomes poor that's poor in faith. He that labors with the counsel of the wicked. Being the false stewardship. So he becomes poor that deals with slack hand. See the word hand there. In other words, all the components that are to be present or absent. In other words, they don't bear that of the weight of the shekel. But the hand, that which bears all equity of the composition there, the hand of the diligent should be made rich, and that's made rich in truth. So you're dealing with a full hand, a full deck. All right, let's go here, verse 5. He that gathers in summer is a wise son, which means in the proper timing reaps. So we observe the timing, the seasons of the Spirit. And by observing these things, we're able to enter into rest. It's the wicked that don't observe the seasons of the Lord. Paul brings these things out in Thessalonians. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. So you know perfectly that day of the Lord. In other words, you have experienced his visitations. And upon his visitations, And through this form of intercourse, okay, you begin to know him. Hey, you enter into a rest, his rest. So he that gathers in summer, the proper timing, is a wise son because he understands the season. But he that sleeps in harvest, but he that protests to labor, when a season requires it, requires his help, is a foolish man because he sows that which Satan provides and he lacks. He's an empty vessel that has no pleasure. So, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. Here's another one here in verse 6. Let's read a few verses right here. So keep in mind about the five portions of that composition of your sanctification, okay, being the hand of the Lord. That is, the anointing is in these things. Blessings. Being the tokens of faith, which benefits your perception of faith. It benefits your perception, your thinking. So blessings upon the head of the just. Okay, this is a form of communication here. But violence, the conflict of thought, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Okay, that means they only argue their derision. Because the hand of the Lord is not upon them, so they argue their derision. In other words, they're trying to bring equity through precept. And the precept only empties the vessel. Okay, the precept empties the vessel. Okay, as the smiting of the mollusk. Okay, the smiting of the mollusk. Okay, it is a roar of accusation. Okay, and so they smite for their equity. Okay, but the Lord does the smiting within us for the purpose of growth, increase in knowledge, and his peace. Need the cycles of your growth there. The memory of the just is blessed. The memory which has to do with the recall. Okay, those which reflect, rehearse, and reciprocate are those which are of faith. These are those which benefit. Okay, and that's what we do. We rehearse, reflect, and we reciprocate. The memory of the just is blessed because we continually reflect. By reflecting upon God's involvement, God inscribes within our own hearts. He engraves within us a testimony. This is a testimony which you're rejoicing in. Okay, the testimony which we rejoice in is reflected in that prophetic path. Okay, the prophetic path, okay, which has to do with the dreams and the visions which God continually initiates through his visitations, and the gifts which we receive continually contributes to the whole. Okay, that when we say contributes to whole, is that we're all sharing within a composite of the incense, the fragrance. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The name of the wicked, which is the tokens of that kingdom, shall fall into disrepair. Whatever they build will collapse, because the logic is weak. Okay, the logic is weak because it cannot bear all the diversities that are necessary for wholesomeness. The wicked do not have access to everything that's necessary for wholesomeness. Okay, the logic is restrictive. The logic being restrictive, it only favors the signature of the one that is in. Okay, and the one that is in is only a very sliver of a whole. So the logic of the wicked being restrictive does not have the full picture. Okay, but they think because they have the access or resources that will add to that little sliver that they have, that little sliver is a tree. And it's not. This is a sliver. A sliver is a sliver. Okay, that little sliver will never grow into a tree because it will bear all the essences or the necessities of that composition. The anointing does. By the anointing, we have the perspective of God, even as Moses on the mountaintop. Okay, the revelation which God gave to Moses on the mountaintop bore his wholesomeness. Okay, the hand of the Lord was upon him, and God showed him things to come. Same thing with Abraham. Same thing with Isaiah. Same thing with the Apostle John in the seventh heaven when he was on the high mountain and saw the holy city. He bore a perspective and he wrote down every asset of that perspective, beginning from the foundation to the city to the walls, even to the colors and the sparkle of it, its beauty and its adornment. Hey, that's a whole perspective. And he wrote that down. So the holy city is not just a foundation, but a foundation is necessary for it. The holy city is not just a wall. It's just not a street. And holy city is just not a gate. But everything contributes to the whole. So therefore, it has all the components of God's fragrance. And God resides within her. So because the anointing is present within the holy city, she bears for his name. And because we bear all the components within the anointing, which is within you, or the hand Lord upon you, you bear the perspective of God, and your charity is purified. It's perfect. Your charity is perfect. And the Lord inhabits your praises. Blessings are upon the head of the just. is at hand. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, for the name of the wicked shall rot. Now the wise in heart. Now Solomon's reflecting upon that which God gave to him. Remember, God poured upon him the Spirit. Okay, and when he spoke to him in a dream and vision concerning the increase of this wisdom, the increase of Solomon's wisdom so excelled, they excelled beyond the wisest men of the time. And it goes on here. So the wise in heart will receive commandments. Those which upon whom the anointing is, they can make the connections. You can make the connections. You're making connections, see? But the false religious system cannot make the connections that the stewardship and the priesthood is of necessity for their spiritual growth. So they feel if they can discriminate between the stewardship or the priesthood or this knowledge you receive, that they feel that they have some kind of edge to advance themselves, but they're destroying themselves. They're only cutting off themselves. They're hurting themselves. So they'll be cut off. They'll fall away as a rotten fig. Okay, a prating fool shall fall. There's the word fall again. Prating fool is when a person, the preacher of much chatter, okay, much talking and much chatter, their own psychology, which they boast about, they shall fall. It says it right there, they shall fall, and they will do it. Okay, they fall away. Let's read a couple more verses here. He that walks upright, you walk surely. There's your stability, the stability of times. He that walks upright, the form of activity of the upright, which means you're not walking in ignorance as a beast on all fours. The word uprightly, which means you're walking on two legs. So he that walks uprightly, your mobility is by the anointing. So he that walks uprightly walks surely with great confidence. You know what direction you're going in. But he that is perverse in his ways, which means being the hypocrite, God will manifest the heart. So he that is perverse in his ways, that takes the knowledge of God to his own aspiration, shall be known. It will be manifested, just like Hymenaeus and Alexander. Reading 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, these particular individuals being singled out by the Apostle Paul for sowing discord and embracing false knowledge. All right, he that winks with the eye causes sorrow. He that winks with the eye or shuts the window of the soul will only increase loss. Okay, he that winks with the eye or shuts the window of the soul will increase loss. But the prating fool shall fall. Those of much chatter in the fool's counsel will cause you to wander. The prating fool will cause you to wander. That they're full of much talk, but they really say little. It sounds like a politician. They say a lot of things, but they achieve very little. All right, having said some of these things and going through now the components there and the composition of that anointing, the holy oil and that of the frankincense, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Let's pick up where we left off there, and we'll start around verse 12, Colossians chapter 1. So make sure you keep notes here for your sacrifices. The Apostle Paul is bringing the same thing to the attention of the church, those which are under his stewardship there in Colossae. In verse 8, he says, "Who also declared unto us your love of the Spirit." That means that all the elements are present within the expression of charity. "Who also declared unto us the love of the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it," the apostles heard it, "do not cease to pray for you." We talked about that. See, and regarding that which is to remit and to retain, we pray for you to remit or to retain. Now, this is what Jesus said to Peter, and Peter also did. Paul did the same thing, to remit or to retain. To release from the offense or to bond the offense to that person. If they continually walk in contradiction to the stewardship, then they retain their sins. Okay, their sins are not remitted. But if they walk according to the anointing, then they retain that which is the fruitfulness of God's kingdom and they're released from the offense. "For this cause also, since they be heard, did not cease to pray for you, because they were engaged with the knowledge to the stewardship and active with the priesthood. And to desire that you might be filled in the knowledge of his will, that which his Spirit empowers." The knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we see grace here being defined for us again, being filled with this grace, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The facts which he's inscribing within you, this is the portion of this covenant. "For this is the covenant I'll make with the children of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I shall be to them God, and they shall be to me a people." Okay, the engraving of this knowledge in your heart comes through the stewardship. Because the knowledge to the stewardship is as the engraving tool, okay, which puts it upon the caverns and the chambers of your own heart, to which you're reflecting upon. You're building with this knowledge. Okay, so we got knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The Spirit continues to direct you in these things. That's really simple. Wisdom gives direction. The knowledge which you're engraving, the facts which you're receiving, is as the portion of the field. The spiritual understanding has to do with everything is now taking proper order. The proper order is through your cycles of growth. Your perception changes with the anointing. The anointing changes your perception. It's the same thing concerning the path of the sun and the moon. The changing of the seasons, and also the direction of the shadow of the sun. The direction of the shadow of the sun changes with the season. It becomes longer and shorter. So it's setting understanding. For the farmer, it sets understanding concerning sowing and reaping time. It's the same thing with the beasts of the field, concerning the time of mating. Okay, the observation, how the power works with these things. Okay, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Okay, that which is ascribed in the signature of man is played out by the signature angel. But that which Christ engrafts within us for the perfection of our faith, the angel of the Lord, what he's engrafting within us, okay, gives us now the wisdom of how to serve and how to please God. And this is what he brings out in verse 10 here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. And through these things are now made competent by him in his prophetic path. This is his joy, and his joy is seen and heard through us. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, as we meet his expectation perfectly, being fruitful. Okay, now the children of Israel were fruitful, okay, with the tokens which they received through the stewardship of Moses. They were fruitful. They were mobile. Okay, they were, that means their journey ended through the gate of that water. Entered through the gate of the water as the Jordan River opened. Okay, they entered into the gate of the water into the land of promise. And through the smiting of the enemy, they were fruitful. Okay, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Okay, that those things you're laboring with at the altar, as you tend the altar. And you're increasing. Okay, we see the increase there. As the incense is released. Increasing in the knowledge of God. So you're increasing in the knowledge of God through its releasing. Okay, and you're also through this, the blossoming of every cycle with more awareness and realization and perception and appreciation, a power for a transmission and transition to recognize him, the knowledge of God. Okay, this is what we talked about there is concerning in the book of Jeremiah, that they may know me, that they may know me. This is the realization here. The realization only comes through contact. The realization of God doesn't come through the precept. Okay, the precept is like a person reading a novel. Okay, a novel. Okay, it might be entertaining to the imagination, but there's nothing that's forthcoming. Okay, and no relationship is being spawned at that point. Okay, everything is in the imaginary world, the invisible world, the pretend world. Okay, but here, okay, by the anointing, there's a reality unfolding, okay, through each cycle of your growth. In each sacrifice of your lips, okay, the time that you spend in prayer, absorbing this knowledge, allowing God to write or imprint upon the chambers of your heart, these things. Now you're becoming profitable. As you enter into your rest and the eternal rest, okay, the releasing of this knowledge will be forthcoming as a sweet fragrance there in the Garden of Eden, see, in the Garden of Paradise. Okay, just like the angels. Now the angels also permeate the knowledge. Their wings also, as they flap their wings, okay, it's not just a flapping of air. It's not the sound of the clap of the air, but the sound of the wings of the angels are as music, okay, as music, or as the chambers of their own heart is releasing harmonic sounds, like an orchestra. These are sounds which the women heard when they went to the tomb, the empty tomb. Okay, they heard as the sounds of music, that which is from the angels. So strengthened with all might, according to his glorious powers. And we talked about the word glorious there. Okay, and glorification, which has to do with, it's going beyond its present border. It's like taking raw stone and melding it down and taking the components out of that. And by taking the components, you have, okay, you have these different elements, which you can put within a process, okay, as concerning gold or silver. Okay, or other metals, iron, copper. Yeah, you get these metals out of the earth. They, and it goes to its proper procedure in order to get that, the end result, which you're looking for. Okay, but it takes a skill. And so therefore, it's according to his glorious power. See that? According to his glorious power. Okay, the effect of the spirit within you is taking raw material, okay, of the soul and through a process of melting. were saved even so as by fire. That's the process of the smelting. Okay, you're saved by fire. So that that which the Spirit is designing within you, okay, the intention of what the Spirit is bringing forth within you will come to fruition, okay, at the end, according to His glorious power. And this is the results of this unto all patience. Okay, this is what it births by this divine design. By we take on the divine power for the divine nature, which births and begets all these virtues within you, so for the purpose of the enduring this contradiction in this time frame, as to retaining. Okay, you're retaining life within you. Retaining life within you. So all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Okay, the end result will be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Okay, the praise of His glorious grace here. Okay, giving thanks. Okay, the end result. Offering Himself in our reciprocation and not the vanity. This power qualifies our faith to be competent. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Because this is your destiny. Okay, your origin is the bosom of the Father. Your destiny is the bosom of the Father. The vessel that's going to carry us there and regarding all its assets is that of the womb of the Holy City, the mother of us all. Okay, the Holy City, New Jerusalem, the womb of our mother, okay, is providing all the substance necessary for the bonding, the building, the increase, the design, and His likeness. So we bear within us these chromosomes, spiritual chromosomes, if you will, which when we engage within the womb of the mother of us all, okay, the engaging of this now increases. Okay, we increase as a child in the womb, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet. Okay, made us meet here. This power qualified us now and competent, made us meet to be partakers. Where? By this embrace of our Father, entering into the bosom to begin, extending His powers by Christ forever. Okay, so it is to be partakers in this, in the inheritance of the saints and light. Well, where is this light at? Okay, the Father's bosom. This is where this light. We're walking in that light. We as the kings of the earth will bring these powers into the Father's bosom. We bring these powers, which of course is what Revelation talks about. We walk into that light. We will follow the Lamb. The Lord will lead us into greater things. And the Lord will lead us into greater things. There are so many things that the Lord has laid out for us in His expectation of the 10th week. There's so many things. These things are so beyond, I say, our present comprehension. Our present comprehension is only in relation to the presence of death and contradiction and struggle and frustration. Okay, the application of our faith for it to gain strength. Okay, which is required of us at this time. This is a time of testing and reward for the fruit bearing. But the end result of that will be the eternal and perpetual release of these powers, which will take on form of life, life forms. Okay, as the Lord is that eternal entity and life form within you, which will continually expand itself beyond its present borders. All right, but this process begins first here, and this is what I just talked about, verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, Christ provided Himself for us as a token of substance to remove all these mental perceptions which ballooned the soul. The powers of darkness ballooned the soul. Okay, a balloon only has air in it. That's vanity and vexation. Okay, the word puffed up is related to that, the powers of darkness. Okay, the wicked are puffed up. Everything which they perceive as increase is only air in a balloon. Their mental perception is deceiving them. Okay, and of course, Satan is the author of that deception. And that deception will not bring them into reality of any kind of fruitfulness. It only vexes the soul. And when it vexes the soul, its face is shame. Okay, its face is shame. Shame are all tokens that do not bear the essence of God's light. Anything that's less than God is shame. Anything that's less than Him is shame. So the Lord is putting distinction here to show us why everything that's less than God bears a curse. That curse is the face of shame. So He has delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness there, these mental perceptions, and translated us, to translate, highlight the word translate us, into the kingdom of His dear Son. Okay, so that instead of bearing the tokens of vexation now, we bear the tokens of His rest. Okay, we bear tokens of His rest. Instead of bearing the tokens of vexation, so you want to put that down, that's the power of darkness, the tokens of vexation, the face of Satan. The face of Satan and tokens of vexations are that as the thorn and the briars, which is bitterness, wormwood. Okay, wormwood is death. That's not the waters we're washed up by. Okay, we're not washed
in the baptisms of wormwood, okay, we're washed in the baptisms of the Spirit of Christ, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. We're learning the rules of his house. Those things which Jesus provided now is teaching us. We're learning the rules of his house, how to behave herself. This is what the Apostle Paul brings out, how we must behave ourselves in the house of God. Our behavior is that of faith and in recognition of the oversight and responsibility of your priesthood. It's so simple. It's so simple that those which are in darkness can't see it. They can't see the simplicity of it. It's Satan that complicated the gospel. Jesus didn't complicate it. It's Satan that complicated it. Okay, the simplicity is of faith. The complication is in the aspiration. Because the aspiration of one's logic wants to resource everything to make their own composition as a sweet-smelling savor. It's not a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, the logic of man takes all these portions there as in one composite, one house, okay, as an offense. It's an offense to him, which is called the mother of harlots, the house of Baal. All right, let's take a few more minutes here. We'll read on through here. Verse 14 and 15, in whom we have redemption. That is, if we remain in this one house, then we'll be complete by what Christ provided in this covenant. So in whom we have redemption through his blood. So I have the word blood there. So and put the word covenant over that. We're talking about through his blood, through his covenant. Okay, that which he shed his blood for. Okay, we cannot isolate the blood from the knowledge. The blood is the knowledge. You can't isolate the blood from the knowledge. Now, the false religious system isolated the blood and redefined it as concerning a seal of their salvation apart from the covenant. Okay, so denominations take the knowledge apart from the covenant. They say we're saved by the blood, okay, and regarding an act of work, but separate from the covenant. Okay, it won't work. Okay, there's no salvation in that. Okay, when he talks about the blood, we're talking about that, which is the bonding of the covenant. Okay, because the bonding of blood, God selected blood through two elements. Okay, for the purpose of showing the bonding of these two dimensions. The bonding of these two dimensions, which his name would bear. It's called Jesus Christ. Jesus being that which is the flesh. Okay, which has to do with the ground. Okay, Christ, which has to do with that which is the Spirit, which has to do with that which is of the Son. The Son. So bonding these two together, okay, would become a life form, a life power, okay, to sustain that which is of the nature of man. But then God used the same thing for our redemptive work. So we call that the covenant, the blood of the covenant. In whom we have redemption through his blood. And the color of blood is red for the purpose of transgression. That a redeemer will come to remove the effects of the transgression by water and blood. The washing. Through the covenant, we will be washed as the blood and the water came from Jesus' side. Okay, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's why he put the word even there. Okay, which is including the mercy for our transgressions and the removing of Satan's stain on the soul. Even the forgiveness of sins, the perpetualness of this is twofold. That which he provided for us on the cross and that which is unfolding in us now. Okay, even the forgiveness of sins. Now notice here in verse 15, and we'll get ready to close. And who is the image of the invisible God? Okay, the face of Jesus is in this knowledge. So Jesus, he is the visible prototype. The visible prototype. Who is the image of the invisible God? Okay, which means the Father, which we cannot see. Jesus is the prototype of the face of the Father, which we cannot see. We cannot see the face of our Father because we're inside of him. Okay, so the wisdom of God said, I will come into the form of the creatures which I create, and I will communicate to them the things which they cannot see but yet are inside of. Okay, I'm going to communicate to them of another world, who is the image of the invisible God. And not only that, but the firstborn, okay, because he's the word and oath of our faith. Everything is tethered to God by the oath of the Lord. But we live by every word of God. Everything's joined to him by the oath. Okay, but we, by faith, follow every word of God. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So the whole of creation is aware of God's presence. But the knowledge is needed in order for us to see that, to weigh that, to understand that and to engage with it. Okay, that's why you need knowledge. How should they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach it except to be sent? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, which I just talked about. The firstborn of every creature, which means every creature bears a letter of the name of God as the oath which gives life. The oath gives life, substance, direction. Okay, it gives power for its functionality within its dimension. Okay, the oath of the Lord sustains the song of the bird, the flight of the birds, okay, the mating of the whale, the effects of the ocean, the effects of the atmosphere, the wind, the hail, the snow. All the activity takes place is a result of that oath. That's why Jesus could walk on the water and why Jesus could multiply the bread. He's the oath of the Lord. Everything in this creation is a very part of himself. Just like a finger to the hand to the arm to the shoulder to the collarbone, and so on, you know, to the body. Okay, everything is joined to him. For by him were all things created. Okay, every letter now was given a house, even as the angels. Okay, the angels, they inhabit that house. And they inhabit the house as the oath of the Lord. They oversee everything because God assigned the angels first to oversee. Okay, and this is what he says here in verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, first to the angels, then in the earth, all beings in the earth, the visible and invisible. Okay, the visible, which means the house, the invisible, which the soul goes inside of it. Visible and invisible, whether it be these things, the thrones. Everything has a house for its functionality. Everything was given a power to function with. Will there be thrones? Okay, these are doors to the dominions. Doors to dominions in each dimension. Okay, the seven heavens have seven vortexes and seven doors. Okay, which of course you will see upon exiting this dimension. Okay, there'll be thrones, dominions, the angels who rule. They rule and decide the outcome of wars. Dominions and principalities. Okay, or the princes of these orders, or the powers, the spirits that affect these souls, the total sum of these things. All things, the total sum were created, they're designed for this function. They're created by him, by Christ, as our prototype, and for his plan. They're created by him and for him. This is his pleasure, okay, in all portions of his fullness. And we're partaking of that fullness right now. We're partaking of the fullness, the tokens of his throne. Okay, in order to relate to him, you have to have these tokens to relate to God. Without these tokens of his grace, there's no relation to him. Okay, there's no relation to him. Where there's a relation, okay, a lightness is manifested. In the absence of the relation, the face of shame is manifested. The face of shame is seen in the Hydra, okay, in the mother of harlots. That's the face of shame. The false religious system bears a testimony of man. But the truth, that which is the church, bears a testimony of God in the face of Christ.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.